From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns has just begun a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that will take us from Christ's baptism through His sacrificial death on the cross and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Never Separated from God. The text is John chapter 11 and verse 26, And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yes, Lord, we believe in it. We shall never die. Our soul may be separated from our body, and this is death of a kind, but our soul shall never be separated from God, which is the true death, the death which was threatened to sin, the death penalty which is the worst that can happen. We believe this most assuredly, for who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? We are members of the body of Christ. Will Christ lose parts of his body? We are married to Jesus. Will he be bereaved and widowed? It is not possible. There is a life within us which is not capable of being divided from God. Yea, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And how then can we die? Jesus himself is our life, and therefore there is no dying for us, for he cannot die again. In him we died unto sin once, and the capital sentence cannot a second time be executed. Now we live, and live forever. The reward of righteousness is life everlasting, and we have nothing less than the righteousness of God, and therefore can claim the very highest reward. Living and believing, we believe that we shall live and enjoy. Wherefore we press forward with full assurance that our life is secure in our living head. In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message called The First Signs of Christ's Glory. The first miracle Christ performed was the changing of water to wine at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. We've seen the mystery of this miracle, the creation of something out of nothing, signifying Jesus' deity. As to the miracle's meaning, it was a sign, directing attention away from the event to the one who had performed it. Also, it provided a powerful message about the sanctity of marriage. Finally, the large quantity of wine points to Christ's abundant grace. In Christ, believers find all that they will ever need. All who come to Christ benefit from His transforming grace as they embrace Him by faith. The result of this miracle was that His disciples believed on Him. Now, Dr. Cairns concludes this message. The first signs of Christ's glory.
Religion, true religion, will never flourish where the marriage tie is lightly esteemed. But how can you maintain this standard? Well, these newlyweds invited Jesus. The wisest thing they ever did. I don't know how the bride was dressed. Wouldn't have been any different in those days than now. It was the day she wanted to look her best. But I don't know what she had on. I don't know the surroundings in which they met. But I want to tell you one thing. Whoever else was there, the all-important one, was the Lord Jesus Christ. They invited him. Do you notice something? Everybody else, in one way or another, even those who gave gifts, everybody else took from them. Why do you think the wine ran out? Because everybody else was taking from them. But he came when they were empty. And he supplied their need. And he filled their pots. And he sanctified their marriage with the manifestation of his glory. Let me tell you, that is the greatest thing can happen in any marriage. It's not making $1 million. It's not having a 64-inch TV or whatever they are. It's not having the latest technology. The greatest thing can happen in a marriage is that in and through that marriage, the Lord Jesus manifests forth his glory. They invited Christ. Do you know there's not a thing in the world to say that you may only invite Christ on the wedding day? That's the only day you can have him there? I know people who got married and they weren't even saved. They're certain there was no Christ in their marriage. There came a time when they came to Christ. They invited Christ not only into their heart, but into their home. I've gone to homes, even homes where there was a profession of salvation, a profession of religion, where husband and wife for a quarter century had been at loggerheads. And it was coming to a place of open warfare and hatred. Actually, it had reached that. Just gently to lead them to Christ. To have them invite Christ into their home, into their marriage. And to see that marriage turned around tells you that Jesus still attends, not just the marriage feast, but he attends the homes. If you're here this morning and you don't have Christ in your heart, you need him. If you're here today and you don't have Christ in your home, you need him. Thank God when you invite Christ. Do you notice a little thing? And his disciples. Now they didn't do any miraculous thing. But there's a place for the people of God in your life and in your home. And don't make the mistake of thinking that you can have Christ in your life and Christ in your home without having the people of God in your life and in your home. You can't do it. The Lord Jesus is the only Savior. But oh, there is a fellowship of kindred spirits. There is a community of experience and of testimony where God's people, seeing Christ, as we are told, believe on him. Their faith is built up. Their trust is encouraged and strengthened. And each one helps the other on to Christ. There's many a time. For all the mistakes that Mary made, she made a beautiful command here. There's many a time when you're going through life and you're wondering what to do and you need a believer to come and point you Christward. and say, listen to him. And whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So there was certainly the exaltation of the sanctity of marriage. But this miracle also emphasizes the abundance of Christ's grace. There were 6 water pots here. Each of them held between 17 and 25 gallons of water. That's the size. So that means with all 6, you have a total of somewhere between 100 and 150 gallons in the 6 pots. Now that was a lavish supply. Every thirst could certainly be quenched. And of course the wine that he gave was better than anything that they had ever had before. You see, when Jesus gives you his grace, it's better than anything the world could ever give. You never lose the sweetness by coming to Christ and by having him give you the wine of heaven in place of the water of earth. You never lose the sweetness. You never lose the joy. You never lose the blessing. No man loses anything but his sin and all that goes with sin when he comes to Christ. He gains everything. None of them needed to go away that day unsatisfied. Now they could go away and say, oh, the wine ran out. But they'd be telling half a truth and they'd be whole liars because he satisfied the need. The availability was there. The quality was there. Nobody needed to go away unsatisfied. There was a rich abundance of grace. There was grace that was overflowing. There was a provision that was more than adequate. More than adequate. And remember, he was there. What he had done this time, had he needed to, he could have done again and again and again. Let me tell you. If people come to these meetings and they hear of Christ and they go away unsaved, it's not because there's not an adequate supply. It's not because there's not an available supply. It's because they would rather die of thirst and stay true to their wickedness and their sin than repent and have Jesus Christ and be satisfied. Jesus said, John 5, verse 40, ye will not come to me that you might have life. There are some people go out into eternity. That's their epitaph. It's the last word that Christ has to say about them. I've made provision. I've offered provision. You've seen people around you drink of the water that's made wine. You've seen them take this grace. You've seen them enter into the joy of the Lord. But ye will not come to me. Some of you, of course, think, well, our wine hasn't run out yet. You need to go back to what Moses said. Their vine is the vine of Sodom. The wine that the world gives you is the wine of Sodom. It is the poison of hell sweetened to damn your soul unawares. I tell you today, if you're out of Christ, you stand an urgent, deep, and terrible need. Jesus says, come and drink. I said, the wine is the emblem of his blood. And he is the one who said, unless you drink his blood, you'll never have life. To drink is to receive by faith. That leads me to the last thing. This miracle emphasized that we can benefit from Christ's transforming grace only by faith. I want you to see the exercise of faith here. The obedience of faith. Jesus said, fill those water pots with water. Okay, fill them to the brim. Now he said, take out, draw. And as I said, verse 9 indicates they drew out and it was still water. And he said, go take that to the governor of the feast. Now put yourself in the position of the servants. Take that to the governor of the feast. What? Take water? Take that to the governor of the feast. And they did. And he pronounced it wine of the highest quality. See faith in action again at the end of the whole narrative in verse 11. And his disciples believed on him. They believed on him. It's not to say that the first time these disciples had come to see was the Messiah, but they believed on him. Their faith was deepened, it was strengthened. His disciples believed on him. But you know, there's a hint there. There were people there, despite the miracle, who didn't believe in him. Can you imagine witnessing the miracle that these people witnessed? A miracle of grace, a miracle of kindness, a miracle of power, a miracle of creation, a miracle that showed forth his glory, and yet they did not believe in him. Oh, they were happy to have the blessing. They were happy to have the wine. But like so many people, they wanted the blessing, but not himself. Men and women, Christ transforms. He transforms the curse and course of nature. Christ saves to the uttermost. Christ fills and satisfies the longing soul. But that saving grace is received by faith alone. So consider this miracle as it shows forth the glory of the Lord Jesus. I believe if you ponder it, it will beget faith, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're a disciple already, it will strengthen your faith. Make sure today that you get your eyes on Christ. You need him in your heart. You need him in your home. We need him in this church. We need him in this nation. We need the Christ who could turn water into wine, could turn the disappointments into deliverances, could turn our own wickedness and sin away from us to such an extent that our testimony becomes a glory to him, an honor to his name. And we live on a plane we'd never dream possible. That's what Christ can do. That's what he will do for all who believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's bow in prayer. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for our blessed Savior and Redeemer. We thank thee, our God, that Christ is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. We thank thee he's able to satisfy. We bless thee, O God, that he doesn't leave his people with some poor, inadequate supply. We thank thee for superabounding grace. We thank thee, our Father, that the Lord Jesus gives with a mighty and an abundant fullness. Oh, we pray, open the hearts and homes of men and women here to Christ. God, save us from going through life on empty, with the wine run out, and knowing nothing but crisis and trouble, and defeat, and disappointment, and disillusionment, and sorrow, and sadness. Lord, we pray that into this situation thou wilt step. We invite thee to come in all thy fullness and all thy power. And God grant that Christ the Mighty One will deliver and change, transform this coarse and cursive nature by the pure power of His grace. Lord, answer prayer. Abundantly answer prayer. Come in, Lord Jesus, and grant that today Thy disciples will truly believe on Thee, by faith enjoy Thy fullness. Part us with Thy blessing and keep us in Thy fear. Be our portion today and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.